Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are very thrilled to be welcoming back Terry Rumor to our show. Now, Terry is a lifelong resident of Birmingham, Alabama. He has served as the founding commander of the Birmingham Fraternus chapter for 5 years. Today, he serves a national position with Fraternus. He's the new chapter development officer, and he's been married to his beautiful wife, high school sweetheart, Charlotte. Charlotte makes Terry look great for 30 years, and they've raised four beautiful children, and they have four grandchildren and two more that are on the way.
Praise the Lord.
And so today, he's here to speak with us about Fraternus. Fraternus is the largest Catholic fraternal organization that seeks to help Catholic fathers lead their homes, communities, and to inspire sons to grow into men of virtue, strength, and service. Go out to the great website, fraternus.org. Well, we certainly had a wonderful show with Terry yesterday, him sharing. And you may have seen, you know, EWTN, they did a special.
Yeah.
With the leader, Jason Craig, on Fraternus. And so you've seen some of that, and you may have seen clips of the boys on Fraternus on retreat and what they do.
Leaving Boyhood Behind?
Yes.
I think that's the book, something like that.
And so it was a great series. And so Fraternus should not be new to you, our EWTN family.
So we're so glad you're joining us. Hope you got to see the first show yesterday. If not, Terry will give a kind of a summary. And the things that he's sharing are absolutely profound. They're true to the natural law. They're true to our Christian Catholic faith. And I love so much of what he's sharing, that this is a brotherhood. This is how we're seeing young people be transformed, or older guys that have come in that haven't fully entered into what it means to be a man and true masculinity. And this happens through a brotherhood. This happens through listening, being with each other, various principles that they follow, various activities that are taking place, and they're kind of all in. And all that, they're all in the Father's affirmation of them as sons of God. That's the foundation. So many of us men don't understand that. So we're just achieving, trying to achieve this, that, the other thing to be accepted by the Father. And Jesus flips that all around. He says, it begins with understanding you are my son, and then you can achieve true greatness in him. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Terry Rumor. He is the new chapter development officer for Fraternus. Please go out to the website. It's fraternus.org, and it will answer more of your questions.
Yeah.
Well, in this culture that has lost its way, this beautiful apostolate has come for a time such as this, for men to know their divine affirmation and who they are, families, marriages, sons, right? And but then there's always a ripple effect, right? But it takes one person to step up to say, here I am, Lord, change me. Tell our family briefly about what we talked about yesterday, about the apostolate of Fraternus.
Sure. Thank you, Jim and Jeff, for having me back on. So the apostolate of Fraternus is just that. It is it's a brotherhood of men who gather together to really instill and to really ignite in ourselves this idea of virtue. And you know, maybe for some of our listeners, they don't know what virtue is, but you know, the church teaches us about the theological virtues and the cardinal virtues. And you know, these are things that that we just know inherently are good. Like we see them play out in our movies and our heroes, and we know that they are the way we're supposed to live. So like the cardinal virtues of justice and courage, prudence and temperance, right? Those are all good things that men should incorporate into their lives. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, or charity. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are understood, right? And so within our fraternist brotherhood, it's really this brotherhood that comes together. And what we talked about yesterday in frat night, where we interact with each other and we hold each other accountable to these virtues, which is so necessary. I mean, we were talking off air, we can't do this alone. I mean, the world wants to separate us. Really more intentionally, the devil wants to isolate us. Mm-hmm. And in this world where we have perceptibly been so connected by the internet and the Facebook and all of these social media outlets, we are the most disconnected culture to have ever lived. Mm-hmm. And men are desperate for brotherhood. They're desperate for a need to be with each other in accountability and in friendship, right? Because as we talked about yesterday, we're sons of a father. And because we're sons of a common father who loves us, that makes us brothers. Mm-hmm. So we have to hold each other accountable so that we don't pass that father wound down to the next generation, which has happened so often. And, you know, for those who might be listening, this brotherhood is not just a father-son institution. This really engages all men of all walks of life. So we start about 11-year-old, that's about the fifth grade. That's kind of our starting point, but we go all the way to death. You don't graduate out of a brotherhood. This is not some type of a graduation program. You know, the Boy Scouts, they have the Eagle Scouts, and you go through to 18 and you do your project and then you've graduated out of that. Mm-hmm. There's no graduation out of brotherhood. You don't cease to be virtuous. We don't graduate until the Lord calls us home. Yeah. So in brotherhood, we must get together always, holding each other to a higher standard than the world would have us hold to. That's really what we're about. And so we invite men of all ages. Yeah. And you know, the most, probably the most wounded group of men that we don't talk about, that we kind of ignore, is the priestly group. Mm. We want priests to be involved. I mean, yesterday we had Father John Paul on, and he talked about his sort of engagement with fraternus, and he's not lying. It impacted his priesthood. We've got to remember, priests are men first, and the priesthood is not a place that you run to hide the wounds of your fatherhood. They're just going to come out
sideways
and devastate the sheep as a shepherd. Wow. So we have to address these priests as men, help them see that they are brothers, that they have brothers in us, in the laymen, that they are a different kind of father, right? They've been ontologically changed in a beautiful, wonderful gift back to the sheep. But they're still men. And we need to be there for those men, helping them in their wounds so that they don't carry those wounds into their vocation.
But you said that it was intentional, that it's a weekly commitment, right? Because we have to say, I'm all in. This is part of my formation. If I'm a single guy out there and I'm looking to belong, I can join fraternus. I don't have to be a father's son. I asked you the youngest to the oldest, and you said you thought your oldest was possibly 80 years old.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? The oldest in Birmingham is in his 70s. We've got men that are older than that in our brotherhood. And, you know, when you really find authentic brotherhood, you don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. You don't want to abandon that. I mean, it's not something that these men get tired of. I mean, they love the interaction. And we do really cool things. It's not just the weekly meetings. I mean, that's the core of what we do. But then we have these outdoor activities where we get out into the open space, free from technology. We go on adventure, you know, and they're even themed. Like they're called excursions, where we go out into the wild, away from the distractions of the world, and we're in brotherhood. We do basically frat night, but in the wild. So we're building fires, and we're taking prayer walks, and we're having talks, and we're playing tug of war, and all of the things that men want to do within that construct of virtue. Mm-hmm. And then we have, and actually coming up this week, actually, we're having our big ranch. It's an annual gathering where all the chapters all across the country come together. They descend into a place in Tennessee. It's called Ranch, and it's like Catholic camp on steroids. Mm-hmm. Men from all over the country, and it's a spectacular thing to see because, you know, what I have found as the new chapter development officer is in the most darkest, desolate places where you would not think a fraternus chapter would survive. Places that are, you know, very, very liberal in their understanding of things, to put it politely. Mm-hmm. These beacons of hope pop up. And so I have been to places all up the Northeast and all out West, and there's these men who want what they know God wants for them. And so then we come together in Ranch and we celebrate that success. We celebrate that joy together, and we get to experience different, you know, because what's interesting about fraternus is that it is a local thing. And so each chapter sort of takes on the charism of the local parish, mm-hmm. the local community, which is really just a microcosm of the bigger church.
Right.
You know, and so it's really neat to kind of descend into this place and to enjoy brotherhood together, and to have the young men mm-hmm. really get to see the bigger, broader church. That mm-hmm. there are men out there that are also fighting in brotherhood for them. They just might not be in their neighborhood, mm-hmm. but they're there.
Right. What a community.
I'm interested in what you're finding or what this might offer to women. So I'm trying to, not a woman myself, but I'm out there kind of saying, like, okay, I'm really excited about this. How do I approach this with my husband? Other women might be saying, this sounds like it's so masculine, maybe it's a macho thing. Am I gonna get more of that in my, like what? So what is this doing, or what can women hope for in what you're saying? What difference does it make in women's lives? How could they help facilitate this without, you know, being overly pushy or being fearful that if they're not hearing you right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Misogyny or false masculinity is really the lie of the world. Mm. What we embrace is Ephesians 5, which is, if you want to know the image of what a real man is, look at your crucifix. Mm-hmm. That's a real man, a man who sacrifices everything for those he loves. So we embrace Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, even unto death.
Amen.
Yeah. That is what we're acting, and you talk about, you bring up, you know, first contact that I have with the largest majority of people who contact us, and by the way, you can contact us through our website, fraternus.org. On that website, it's a pretty neat website, and there's a place where you can say, I'm interested, and then it will trigger an email to me, and, you know, I'll reach back out to you, and there's a whole training process. So we're not selling you a curriculum. I'm literally walking hand in hand with these men. But the point I was going to make is the first contact that we have so often is women. I mean, women have the incredible grace, including my own wife, had the great gift that God gives them of intuition to know there's something wrong. There's something wrong with my husband, my son, my pastor, my father, but they're unable to help.
Mm-hmm.
So they will reach out to me in desperation, and it breaks my heart to think, oh, I want so badly to help them. This is not a quick fix program, but it is going to require that the man in their life reach out to us for help.
Mm-hmm.
You reach out, and we have a whole brotherhood of men that are there to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot do this alone.
No. And then the contact with you, then you'll meet with that person, and then with the great hope that a new chapter will be birthed.
Right. So the first thing we do is I'll have a Zoom call with you. I'll ask that man to gather a group of men in his community, and it's a no cost, no obligation. Just listen to this Southern guy from Alabama with his Southern accent talk about what he's passionate about, mm-hmm. which is virtue and masculinity, authentic masculinity, mm-hmm. right? And after that, and I'll do my best in that Zoom call to really lay it out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't pull punches. Like,
right.
This is not for the weak of heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this does require a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that matter, heaven ultimately requires a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a commitment.
Yeah.
And we make choices every day that are meaningless choices, that at the end of the day, they do not satisfy us.
Yeah.
So I will lay it out there for you, and then if you're excited about it and want to go further, then you contact me, I come to you, and we walk you through a weekend training where I will just help you discover what this is in brotherhood, and then along the way, we'll just help build that brotherhood and want to see these places grow up all over the country.
Mm-hmm. How do the clergy fit into this? Not in terms of being a part and training, signing off on something. Does it need to be a sign? Does it need to take place in a local church? And so where did the clergy fit in terms of authority?
It does have to be parish-sponsored and pastor-supported. But here's the beautiful thing about our apostolate. Our priests are so busy, and they are loaded down with so much work. We just need their signature of approval, and then we want to invite them to come and be. They don't have to come and work. They don't have to lead. This is igniting something in their parish. When you ignite the heart of men in your parish, you ignite the church. Mm-hmm. We're going about this so wrongly. We're throwing these programs at people, and we're trying to have all this online stuff, and and we'll bring in speakers, and those are all, they can be effective, but they're like little shots of penicillin. Mm-hmm. And they kind of give you a boost, but you've got to build up your immunity. And in building up that immunity is really building up the life of virtue. So we want the priests to come and just be men in the community. Mm-hmm. Now you got to have their support. We can't do this without them. But we want them not, this is not intended to put more work on them. It's actually intended to create less work for them by igniting the hearts of men in their parish.
Just have about a minute left. Just a closing word, whatever you want to share with our viewers today about the benefit of fraternists and how they can get involved. Anything you want to share?
Well, everything that I say about fraternists, I will say this, the devil hates this. Mm-hmm. We have lit something in the hearts of men, and anyone who gets engaged in this is going to be engaged in a spiritual warfare. So whatever you do, if you're sitting at home listening to this and you want to contact us, you start with prayer. Prayer is the beginning and the end of frat night. Prayer is the beginning of the conversion in your life. The devil's coming after you because we've got the key here, but God's won the battle. Mm-hmm. And with prayer, he will ignite the hearts of men and give us all we need to win the war.
Amen.
We thank God for your life, for your responding to this call, and for so powerfully promoting it. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Amen.
We're going to take a break at this point. Father John Paul is going to be back with us. And it was almost like an evangelistic call, you know. So he can make the call, but you have to respond. Whether you're a man, you're a woman, just go to that website and say, this has really intrigued me. I think our family really needs this. You'll get to speak to him and have a Zoom call with you. And this is part of God's plan for the transformation of the church, beginning in a special way with men who will come to understand that he's a son of God, and everything will flow from that point. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Go to fraternus.org, and don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, Father John Paul is with us today. And Father, you have participated in Fraternus for over 5 years.
Over a decade.
Which is a long time.
On and off. There's been a time where, you know, I'm not as engaged as I was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I was very engaged, and, you know, Terry is right. I think, you know, it has benefited not just my priesthood, but just me being a brother, just being a better man in general.
Beautiful. And how wonderful it would be if there were priests out there who would have a longing to say, I want this to happen in my parish, in my diocese, and get involved, and for bishops to reach out and make that happen.
Yeah, contact Terry, please. Mm-hmm. I think what he said in the beginning is so true, that a lot of times they have women contacting, you know, at the very beginning, at the helm of it. And even in Birmingham, it was, I won't say who it is, but it was really the insistence upon a woman, a local woman in the diocese, this is what the diocese needs. This is something that I need for my son. And a lot of times in the church, a lot of things are given birth by women in the church. I think It's interesting. I think when I talk to women, a lot of times, I think women are towing a load that they are not meant to tow. Sometimes when I hear them talk, and when I hear in the confession or in spiritual direction, you know, a lot of times they are the ones leading the family. Mm. They're the ones praying with their children, and their husbands aren't doing much else besides, they might be providing, but their husbands are not protecting, and you need both. Mm-hmm. To be a provider and a protector.
And you need a spiritual authority. You need a spiritual leader in the home.
You need a spiritual leader, a guide. And I think what I've seen in a lot of families, especially here in Birmingham, when a husband starts praying as a father and as a son, most of all, to recognize his identity as a son in the father and to take that ownership and to be a man, it frees up the wife to be who she really is, you know, to be a daughter, to recognize her need to be a daughter of the father and to be the wife that she's called to be and also the mother that she's called to be. You know, what the last 12 years, 13 years now, Fraternus has taught guys how to pray. And we've found that the first couple of years, like, men would come. They wouldn't come out publicly and say they didn't know how to pray, but privately they would talk to one another. I don't know how to pray. You're asking us how to pray.
Right.
I've never prayed before by myself. What does that look like?
Right. So or publicly.
Teach, yeah. So we teach guys how to pray. What does it mean to have a relationship with my father? What does it mean to pray the rosary?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there's so many things. I can go on and on.
I know you can. Close us in a prayer and with a blessing, Father, please.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this day. We come before you as sons, and we ask that all those who are watching may be inspired and to grow in further relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. May the blessing of Almighty God be upon you this day, give you his peace, the Father and his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thank you, Father.
Well, I felt like I was on the road to Emmaus and the Lord had come up. And after that experience with him, I think they said something like, did not our hearts burn within us when he shared and breaking of the bread? And I think we've really broke some bread here today, Terry has and Father John Paul, because this is vital for the transformation of human life, for homes, for the family, and for the church. Please go to Fraternus.org, fraternus.org. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.